Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Subspace interference, which limits my abilities. I can't operate as quickly as...
What did you say?
I said I cannot operate...
No! That's not what you said. You said I can't. You used a contraction, didn't you?
Sir, I can explain if you would just give me a moment...
No, you can't. Don't even try.
Captain, perhaps it would be best if we discuss this...
Shut up!
I beg your pardon.
I said shut up! As in close your mouth and stop talking.
Will, I sense how upset you are. You're angry and impatient.
Deanna, back off. Well, would anyone else like to speak up? Or shall we end this charade?
Chief O'Brien?
Okay, all right.
Chief O'Brien?
Chief O'Brien, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, guys. Are we playing?
Yeah.
Are we playing the game?
Yeah, push the button. I push the little timer button.
It's a fun game.
It's counting upwards.
What if it was counting downwards into negative numbers?
Oh, no. We can't do that.
I mean, I don't think the clock is...
What if that's how our stopwatches worked? Is instead of going up, they counted, started at zero and went negative.
That's why it's a stopwatch.
And
it
then,
stops.
And then went but the timer started at negative, and when it hits zero from negative...
I mean, you're looking at me and you ask the question, what if?
You're making my head
basically
hurt.
All you do is do what it does now, except add a minus in front of it arbitrarily.
Yes, I know, but you
keep... Why would you do that?
But you said, what if?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what answer you're looking for.
Okay, what then?
Is that some kind of universe where the like birds what fly then? Backwards or something? Or
oh, no, that's like a TAS
everybody
episode.
Says like bad bye or
that's
something?
That's a the animated series style episode. It's like we're on the universe where all the birds fly backwards.
I hope so.
All right, good. Dan's easing us into this this episode, this podcast discussion. This is a podcast.
Yes.
Well, that was not a good recording. Yeah. This is
sometimes it's hard with TNG. Sometimes there's a lot of background
it's
noise.
It's a little bit muddy.
Yeah,
a bit muddy. I noticed that while watching the episode.
Yeah, this episode did have like
yes,
like that saying yes, but there's a lot of fuzz going on,
stuff going on.
Right? Not all the sounds were like that, but I did notice some of them were. It was the sound was a little.
Some of the sounds, not
the,
all.
The
not
gain
all the
was
sounds.
Up or something. I don't know.
Well, why don't we get down?
But not
to,
all. Not too many.
We'll get down to the main business here.
The gain business, not the gain business. The main business.
The main business.
You bet.
Not the train business.
You know what's funny?
You bet.
It's such like
I do not know what's funny.
It's such an old school thing to say.
You bet.
You bet.
You bet.
I know, right?
That's like something Wesley Crusher would say too. I'm sure Wesley Crusher has said that a bunch of times. But even before TNG, it's such like a you know those bet. Like old like when they taught people how to read through phonetics, mm-hmm. and they had those Dick and Jane books,
yeah.
where it's like see spot run, you know those kind of books. Mm. They would say
run spot run,
and they would say things like you bet, you know,
right,
you bet. Like, when was the last time you heard anyone say, you bet?
Some of these things cycle through. Recently,
I always say, fuck yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Recently, one of my daughter's friends was getting scolded by their parent, and my daughter said, ooh, she's cooked. And I think they think it's a new term, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's like a 1950s term.
Yeah,
that's like
yeah,
a
right.
like a Hardy Boys, like when,
right.
when
your
like
goose is cooked.
Yeah, Chet would do something.
Chet
would... cause some sort of shenanigans that the Hardy Boys would have to deal with, and they'd be like, man, Chet is cooked.
I'll have to take your word for that.
Okay, so let's see here. We've started the podcast.
Have we started the podcast?
I haven't said welcome yet, so welcome,
welcome
to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Admiral Picard, Captain Riker, it's good to see you again.
Ambassador Tomala.
So which one of you is Picard and which one of you is Riker?
Oh, so that was you in the role of Tomalak.
I've arbitrarily decided that, yes.
And so now we have to do, this is a little mini game.
Yeah, mini game.
This is one of Dan's classic mini games.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Which one of us?
Yeah, I mean.
Because I'm Tomalak.
That's a weird one.
I'm yeah. Tomalak.
I don't know. Am I Riker?
He's probably Picard.
Am I Picard?
I think you're Picard.
Are you?
What's the answer, Dan?
Is there a correct answer?
You acted like there was.
Admiral Picard.
To me, you'll always be Jean-Luc.
I know I can make better scrambled eggs than Riker. In other ways, I identify with Riker, but...
Oh, right, because he made those weird eggs that one
awful
time.
Scrambled
Weren't they
egg.
Some kind of alien bird eggs or
they
something?
They were alien bird eggs or alien monster eggs. I don't know.
Guile and deceit.
Eggs of guile and deceit.
All right, so yes, this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Admiral Picard, if Captain Riker. It's good to see you again.
You got to be careful about saying the title of the podcast more than once.
That is a fair statement. I walked right into that.
Yeah.
Okay. If my calculations are correct, this is the 308th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I've heard that.
And
Admiral Picard, Captain Riker. It's good to see you again.
I didn't say welcome. Is it just when I say It's Got Star Trek podcast?
Admiral Picard.
Is that the trigger?
Captain Riker.
Okay,
it's good to see you again.
It's amazing. I still learn new things. Every week I learn something new.
I'm officially tired of this game that I invented just now, so I'll stop.
Okay, so here's the deal, Jesse.
He's always making up new games.
Dan, on the fly.
Dan says he's tired, but I also know that Dan has maybe not in a clinical sense. I don't want to. I'm not a psychologist here, but Dan does have a touch of the old OCD. Especially when it comes to creative stuff, and we're going to talk more about that in a second. So the question is, Jesse, what do you think? Dan says he's tired of that gag, but do you think if I were to say the phrase, the trigger phrase, do you think he'd play it out of his OCD?
Yes.
All right. It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Welcome
to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Admiral Picard, Captain Riker. It's good to see you again.
Indeed. It is good.
I couldn't refuse.
Okay, so
I'm not going to play anymore.
Yes, episode 308. Yep. Still learning new stuff, which is great. Learning new stuff about each other. We've known each other for a very long time.
We're knowing each other more and more intimately every second that goes on. Yeah. How intimate can we get
Let's touch it.
I'll touch you. That'll make us even more intimate.
Well, that'll go on the Patreon.
I'll touch you.
We should have the three of us just have a really intimate night together.
Okay. Do we need to get some MDMA or Molly?
No.
What do the kids call it these days? Is it Molly?
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
They got some hee-haw.
Give me some of that hee-haw.
I was giving different names of the same thing.
You guys are the only drug that I need.
All right. Well, that works for me.
On a nice, intimate night together.
Right. Wow.
So, yes, we are talking this week. We are going to be discussing and going over the TNG episode, the Next Generation episode. Mm-hmm.
Bom, bom, bom.
Future Imperfect.
We must hurry or we miss Commander Riker's party.
He says, hurry. We must hurry.
Party.
Hurry. We must hurry.
Oh, we must hurry or we miss Commander Riker's party.
His party.
His party. His hurry.
Mustn't miss his party.
Party.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal.
We will get through this.
Last.
As we have many times before.
307 times before. And bonus episodes.
Oh my God, that's like so many years.
It's a long time.
It's like I know the number of years because the calculation is simple, but I don't want to pretend that I don't.
And we wouldn't want to take the fun away from the audience.
Yeah. Right?
Some people in the audience are going to enjoy doing that calculation all on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, this episode, 308, Future Imperfect.
Yeah. Okay.
So last week, We used Dan's algorithm, right? We finished discussing Strange New Worlds season 3, and so we used Dan's algorithm to select an episode.
Is that what we did?
Yes, we did. And so what happens is, Dan uses his algorithm, and you can go back to previous episodes. I don't know. There's maybe the technical manual. I don't know.
We've
explained it before, but Dan created this algorithm suggests episodes for us to watch on a list,
right?
And it's like a ranked order list. Mm-hmm. Now the thing
is
when we wanted to do a TNG episode,
right?
And the ranked order list came up with this episode was the first ranked episode, correct, for TNG.
It was a tremendous opportunity,
indeed.
Now, so we went with it.
Now just a few lines down was the old the episode 3 of TNG, the Naked Time.
Naked Now?
Naked Now.
Naked Now.
Naked Time is TOS. Naked Now is this. Now, I was kind of pushing for the Naked Time or Naked Now.
Oh, were you?
Well, I was pushing for it because that's the one where they all get a virus, so they act drunk, and
Yar
sort of has that weird thing with Data, and Wesley becomes
fully
crazy. It's a goofy, weird. I mean, it's the first episode after Encounter at Farpoint. They're mm-hmm. still trying to figure stuff out. It's an interesting, fun, goofy episode. However, I had a suspicion that, because this has happened in the past, that Dan does have a preference for what the first episode that the algorithm puts out. There's an honor to, and I get it. But there's sort of, I don't know if it's an honor code, if it's what, but you kind of, you're like, I want that, I want to do that episode.
Well, he came up with it.
Damn it.
Well, and the thing is I like Future Imperfect. Future Imperfect is not a perfect episode, no pun intended.
Ah.
But I've always been fond of this episode. It's an interesting episode, so I wasn't minding
this. Because there's a misdirect that goes on throughout the whole episode, and there's like little hints they drop throughout the episode of like for example, they at the beginning of the episode they talk about according to our Starfleet whatever Starfleet history star history Starbucks or whatever they call them
Starbucks
that these this planet is supposed to be uninhabited but then it's kind of like almost a throwaway because they don't really explore that afterwards, and a couple times they talk about how it's weird that there's things going on accentuate that point, but then at the end of the episode you find out that the reason that it's supposed to be uninhabited is because it is uninhabited.
Except for this one dude who's creating
all this crazy stuff going on. And so it's like this sort of subtle reference to that them talking about that is like, you can almost miss it when it happens. Them saying like, cause they, like I said, they keep talking about like, it's supposed to be empty. We don't know what's going on. And it's like, it's very forgettable, but if you watch it again, you realize it's like, that was kind of a hint.
It was a well-structured episode.
And then there was the whole misdirect between like how it was supposed to be, like we were led to believe it was the Romulan plot. But really it was just this sort of character that we thought was sort of an artifact of like the whole Holo scene. We thought it was like, oh, well, that's just his son. He's a captain. That's his son. Yeah. No, nothing.
You don't mean the Holo scene as in the epic, the geological epic. You mean the Holo scene, like the scene, like you're like at a Berlin nightclub kind of thing.
Holograms?
Yes. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. The first Holo scene.
The Holo scene is
like a Coliseum.
Like no,
a Holo scene.
Like the Pleistocene.
Holo-seum?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It's an epic. Oh. It's a geological. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean
epoch.
That.
Epoch, not an epic.
Right.
That would be like Gilgamesh or Gargamel.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant it as part of the context of the situation.
Of the situation. Are you about to go into some sort of a Jungle Book song here? Context of the situation. You got to accentuate the manipulation. Anyway, Dan's rubbing his head a lot.
No, it's because
that's the episode we're discussing this week.
No, it's because I'm trying to like figure out how to say what I'm trying to say. It's just the scene that they set forth is he's in this Holo programs type thing, and it's like, oh, I'm a captain, crazy. And it's like, oh my gosh, I have a son, crazy. But the son is another mystery. Because we think of his son as just sort of the side character, like I said, it's sort of an artifact of the Holo program he's in, but it turns out the son is like the focal character of that entire thing. And so this, it was pretty clever how they sort of like led you along to believe it was one thing and then zooped you over to another thing at the end. I thought it wasn't, now it's not, I'm not saying it's an amazing episode, but like I thought that it was clever, like some of those
it's
things
a clever
they did.
One, yeah.
And Patrick, I do remember you did say something about Naked Now, like, you know, I wouldn't have minded doing an episode not near the front so much, although I tend to, you're right, I tend to like, because like, it's the algorithm, it's supposed to pick the one that's most close to the other episode, and I know sometimes I take that shit a little too seriously. Naked Now, like, I don't know, you think that's really a fun episode to do? It's kind of a wacky episode.
I think you'd get a lot of audio clips out of it, like Data saying he's fully functional.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Well,
I only ever push back on it if the algorithm happens to have picked like a mind-bogglingly boring episode or you know, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, well, how about...
Which is rare.
Okay, well, I just don't... I just don't want to lie to our audience, because they're depending on us for this highly scientific sort of algorithm that's supposed to pick
people
the episode for them.
On
and
us.
If they found out that we've been fooling them and lying to them this whole time, there might be a mutiny.
They're not going to find out.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about it now, yeah. So we're kind of giving our in our hands. But yeah, okay, in the future, maybe I'll be a little more loose with it. Because we also had the episode a few more down from that. We had Evolution as another TNG episode, which is a wacky, wacky episode.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah, wacky.
A lot of interesting Star Trek out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. And we will be discussing that.
It's got Star Trek.
This week. We've already discussed some of it.
Unavoidable.
I hope Dan saved a few points for the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, I might have just said all I had to say about the episode.
Dan says, I'm just going to be quiet for the rest of the time.
You didn't exactly push hard on Naked Now.
I didn't. I just said I didn't because I like this episode. Okay. Because Future Imperfect is like a cool episode. If it was, I'm struggling to think of an example, but there's some episodes where I was like, I don't know if I have the muster the energy to discuss that particular episode. Yeah. I don't know. Some, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
All right. But before we get fully into the discussion and talk about all the things that Dan did not talk about already.
Damn it.
Oh, I was going to say, I think the other thing that influenced this is that Dan is a big time boner.
I'm a big boner.
Oh, shit.
He's a lifelong boner.
He's a veteran boner.
There you go.
Totally.
Should I get my son's trombone down here for some live demonstrations?
Damn it. Hold on one more time.
Okay.
It's really hard to play the to play a keyboard style instrument on a fucking like iPad that's not meant for sound.
We all noticed that you were having some degree of difficulty with that. I think we can expect a little bit more of
Night
that.
Bird. Play Nightbird.
Nightbird.
Throughout the rest of the episode. But yeah, I was going to say, because Dan is a big time boner, that he would have a natural bias towards this episode anyway. Yeah. So.
Two asses.
Two what?
Biased.
Okay, I gotcha. But first, we do have... we have a couple of voicemails. So let's get to those voicemails. The first voicemail is from Fraser.
Here he comes.
Damn it, Dan.
Oh.
You got rotisserie chicken stuck in my head, you fuck. Stop saying words wrong when they're catchy.
So that's kind of like if you had three species that like rotisserie chicken.
Rotisserie chicken. You're killing me. I can't say it right anymore. God damn it. There we go. Rotisserie. Fuck. You suck.
Sorry about that.
He's not sorry about
Super that. Mario Brothers.
I'd like some rotisserie chicken with French fries, please.
This is Dan's. That Dan character is based off of a real life person he had to deal with at a restaurant.
I'd like the rotisserie. Hey, I'd like the rotisserie chicken with French fries, please. I love Mario.
Mario.
That's a good character, or an amalgam of characters.
I'm glad I was able to spread the disease, which is not being able to say that word correctly to other people, because that person infected me. Now I've infected Fraser. Yeah.
It's gone out, and probably others as well. Fraser's just the one to speak up about
it. So Fraser, you know, I apologize, but now we have something in common that we can sort of, you know...
Well, I find myself pulling these phrases out unconsciously at times. It's an older character, but... when somebody says excuse me, my immediate reaction is like excuse me.
That was when I was standing on the bus and I was standing next to the door because the bus was going to stop and I was going to get off the bus and a person came up behind me and was like, excuse me, you're standing in the doorway, and I was like, yeah, I'm getting off the bus, you know?
He did.
People are wild.
He did.
Okay. And but, one more.
What about this voice?
We,
he did.
We have one more voicemail, and then we can continue our discussion.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
What are you doing? What
you guys got, you guys got.
What are you doing?
This is too much.
Hey, Jesse.
You should be putting this on the Patreon, because the people who like this really like this. Everybody else is like, I don't know.
Hey, Jesse.
Like, what is this?
Are there people that hate it?
Oh yeah, there's a whole club. I'm the fucking president.
I don't get it.
There's like a whole subreddit and everything.
Oh.
Okay, next voicemail.
The whole subreddit.
Guys, it's Fraser again. I was trying to spread the word about your podcast. And I was telling my buddy, like, you know, I know you're stressed out and you like Star Trek. Why don't you try this fucking podcast? It's the best one out there. And he said, is it though?
Frasier.
Well done.
Frasier.
Thanks, Agamus.
Is referencing a new game that that Dan came up with last week that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I got to say, I really enjoyed the Is It Though game.
Is It Though game, yeah.
It was in episode 307 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, where we had a really fun discussion of the season 3 finale of Star Trek Strange New Worlds titled New Life and New Civilizations.
Dan found it.
He found it.
I told you I would.
Last week, I was like, Dan, did you get that crazy ass fucking laugh from Pike? Pike doing the fucked up crazy
it
laugh.
It was a crazy laugh. I'm surprised I missed it. He is taunting the shit out of Scotty.
He's like, Scotty's a piece of shit.
Like,
but he's not wearing underwear under that kilt.
Where did Frasier get that boo 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 sound he was playing?
I don't know, but it's awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Frasier, you can email us and let us know. Dan know where to get that.
I want that boo 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 sound.
Dan is a collector of doo 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 sounds of all sorts of beeps and boops.
Yep, absolutely.
As it may not surprise you.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Well,
that's understandable considering what's happened.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Frasier, as always.
Thanks, Frasier.
We appreciate that.
Now you and me can, like, you know, have something in common, and like when we're going through the shit, we can reminisce about like rotisserie chickens together.
And beep beeps and boop boops.
Yeah, beep beeps and boop boops.
Now, the issue I have with this episode, there's one issue, is which I didn't take any notes on this episode. I was very busy. I did watch it a couple times, though, and so it's fun to go noteless from time to time. But particularly in an episode like this that just has so many sort of memorable images in it, or scenes, right? Just throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot that stands out, like the weird comm badges and some of the other stuff that's going on.
Picard's beard.
Yeah, but I really, after watching a lot of...
Yeah, Picard's fucking beard.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. But the beginning of the episode is, and I think you were hinting at this earlier, Dan, or maybe you were saying it explicitly, that it's a very kind of calm Star Trek beginning, where it's like, oh, there's some mildly peculiar stuff going on.
Yeah.
And there's a party going on. One of our crew members, it's Riker. Maybe this is going to be a Riker episode. And Riker's sort of bad at trombone, which is weird because I don't like Riker's pretty good at trombone. He's just always had difficulty with one or two songs.
Right.
But here they're like ragging on him, like he's shitty at trombone.
It's like in other episodes he's better.
Yeah.
Music lessons.
Yeah. And that note he was trying to, I mean, I can understand how he might have problems with that Nightbird song, but like that note he was trying to hit in that one song, like,
not a complicated note.
It's not the kind of thing that would haunt you for years.
Yeah. As a boner, would it be considered a fairly elementary?
It's been a while since I've played, but
been a while.
I think it's the kind of thing if 16 years later, like forget like him seeing Minuet. If he still couldn't play that 16 years later, that should really be his clue that there's something like sketchy going on, because he would have learned that by 16 years. Like,
does he have a genetic default that prevents him from playing that one note?
Yeah,
it's strange.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's like Misty, right?
I do think it was Misty. Do you think are all those people friends with Riker, or are they just there because he's the commander?
Probably.
I don't know exactly how these things work.
It's a party. Probably people just show up.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
It is 10 forward.
Happy birthday.
It's his birthday.
Yeah, people are just hanging out in 10
forward. I mean, people have birthdays, and you don't always know everyone that all that well at your birthday, because like someone invites a friend, or your mom.
It's
like,
a big fucking ship.
Your mom's like invites this kid that you don't want to come, but she's like, oh, he needs friends or something like that.
I don't think
that was me. I was that kid who got invited because I needed friends.
Riker's not going face to face to every department on the goddamn ship to be like, hey, I'm Riker. What's the deal? So like, not everybody like sees that guy every day. So they're not, you know, some of those people just happen to be there.
It's always interesting when you have high level authority figures, well, and then as people are celebrating them, it's like, how much is it sincere? I mean, Riker's a good guy, well, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not trying to cast aspersions. I just realized it's like a little awkward. I don't know. You just kind of think is like, why are they going to 10 forward instead of like renting out a holodeck,
right?
And have a party in a holodeck
or one of the like one of the ballrooms.
I mean, they seem to like have party in 10 forward. They party in 10 forward a lot, don't they?
Yeah, but it's a birthday party. I don't know. Like, we're gonna go have a party like just like a bar. Or are we going to like rent out the trampoline place and then like they have a little room where you eat the cake?
Oh man, I know.
So you don't eat the cake in front of all the other kids.
Speaking of trampolines, I know this is super tedious to talk about dreams, but like today I had a dream that like I was in a friend's apartment, and instead of a floor, they had a trampoline floor. And it was like, instead of like the trampoline going to the edge of the wall, it was like, you know how trampolines have the springs that connect a trampoline to the edge? Mm-hmm. There's that gap between the bar and the edge.
Where you break your leg.
Yeah. There was a gap between the wall. No. There was a gap between the wall and the trampoline and springs there, so you could fall.
Oh, and it didn't have like the cover for it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And they were just bare springs.
And below was someone else's apartment,
so your
foot could fall through. I know, it's really boring to talk about dreams. And
that's not terrifying. A dream.
It's like, wait a second.
That's a nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah, right. It was weird.
What happened?
I was just confounded by the whole thing, and then I woke up.
I'm confounded.
Did you?
I couldn't stop thinking about the people below.
Did you make any attempt to interpret the dream? I don't know if you maybe there's a meaning, maybe there's not. But do you think there's some sort of meaning for the trampoline the trampoline dream?
I think there is.
I don't know.
I think there is. I'm not gonna do the interpretation for you.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Assume something's going on.
It's from probably some kind of anxiety about like how I behave around other people or something.
I wonder what the anxiety dreams they have in Star Trek are.
About being able to walk across the floor in somebody else's apartment.
Like in Starfleet, do they just have the standard anxiety dreams? But like so many like anxiety dreams might be like I've got to get somewhere, but I keep getting waylaid by traffic and other things. But on a starship, it would be something different, I guess.
I bet they have a dream where like they're trying to get transported and they're sitting in the transporter buffer for like years or something that.
And they got an itch.
Or like they're not even in the transporter buffer. They have the beam and the beam is taking forever to even dissolve them into the buffer.
Body apart.
So they're like in between real life and the buffer, but not actually in the buffer. They're like in between. They're just sitting there forever. And then O'Brien was like trying to like transport them, and he keeps like missing the console and like making them. He keeps like transporting their head off into something else.
Oh my god!
Wow, dude.
Yeah, your dreams keep veering into horrific.
When I waited tables, I would have a lot of like restaurant anxiety dreams. Like I kept trying to pour coffee, and I'd keep missing, or if some cup would fall over, and every time it happened, a new person would sit down. One time, I had my worst anxiety dream was when I was waiting tables in my dream, and my section was like a mile down the road. I had to walk on the side of the road. I think it was like Columbia Pike.
It sounds like some sort of French farce.
It was like, I think it was Columbia
Ooh
Pike.
La la.
It was like Columbia Pike to the Barcroft Plaza place. And then I was walking with a tray full of drinks, and like it was like a mile away from my section.
Well, thankfully,
section
that will be a helpful geographic distinction for our listeners.
Well, you can look it up. You can do Google Street.
I'm not sure if they could. It might be difficult. I don't know if you've given enough information.
Barcroft Plaza?
And Columbia Pike. All right, well, maybe.
Is it called Barcroft Plaza?
I think so.
I think it is.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Back to the old
Idea even scared me a little.
Star Trek Ranch.
What you were asking me what I was saying earlier about it being a calm beginning. What I was trying to point out was like, so Data said the third planet of Alpha Onia system are reports listed as presently uninhabited. Perhaps reports were incorrect. And there were a few comments like that along those lines. And it was just kind of like, oh, that's weird. Who cares? And it literally wasn't until the end of the episode that we find out why the reports were saying that it was uninhabited, because the reports were correct, but they were getting readings because this kid had this thing that made this universe, and so it was, and it was like hinting at that, but there was no way you could have figured that out. So I thought it was like a little clever little there was a lot of little clever things in the episode that they trusted their audience. Yes. They didn't like throw these things in your face. They trusted that you could put it together.
Yeah,
you know,
and I like that. I like being trusted.
Yeah, I like being trusted too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No more fantasies. No more games.
Is there a third?
I'm not going to play anymore.
I knew there was a third part. It's sort of interesting and peculiar that you split those up.
I tend to do that
all
sometimes.
Right. We're going to
give myself options.
We're going to prep here for a break.
Wow, are we out of your break?
Yeah, we're
I feel like
break.
We haven't really talked about anything yet.
You talked about the entire episode already.
So. I know.
You've been running your goddamn mouth the whole time.
You better have some lists and duties.
I do have a list.
And this is and that's.
I do have a list. I have a 19-point list called.
Just one list?
Isn't it that way? Well, what's that game?
It's called Is It So?
Is it though?
Oh, is it though? That's right.
I have a 19-point list called Weird Things.
Oh, good. Well, there's something to look forward
to. This is the second time you've pointed out that I've talked about the entire episode. Like it's almost like you're like secretly, inwardly a little annoyed at me for like talking about too much all at once.
No, I can honestly say, Dan, I've never once been annoyed at you in my life.
No. It's okay. Like if I made a boo-boo, you can tell me.
A boo-boo.
Did I make a boo-boo?
A boo-boo? Prince
a boo-boo?
A boo-boo?
A babois.
Because I'll do better next time.
Aladdin.
Because I take your guys' opinions very seriously.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it over the break, which we're going to take right now. We'll be right back.
Ba-ba-ba.
When do we leave? You don't have to stay here anymore.
Oh, no, I did it. I fucked it up.
About now?
I played the wrong sound.
Do you want to start over? Do you want to play the right sound?
Yeah.
I can say we'll do I can say we're going to take a break.
Okay, dude. All right. Oh, God, I fucked it up.
It's okay.
Because I put too many things in colors this time.
Too many things.
I tried a different style, and I thought I was doing the old style. Okay, let's try it again.
Get it together, man.
This is about Dan's sound organization system. All right.
What has happened?
We will be right back.
While I am gone, please give careful thought to your situation.
That was better.
And we're back.
Hi, Dad.
Where have you been?
Bean.
I say bean. I often say bean.
Bean?
Where have you been?
Sometimes people call me out for that.
We must hurry or we must come out of Riker's party. Where have you been?
We must hurry. We must hurry, otherwise we'll miss Commander Riker's party.
We can play an impromptu two question game of Is It Though? We might want to wait a little longer. It might not be funny this time.
You mean wait a little longer as in a different episode?
Or? I mean, I had these things here that I was thinking, oh, this could be part of the game. Is It Though? But then I was thinking, oh, we did that last week.
You think it'll feel forced?
It'd be feel forced if we do it again. That was my only concern. So
yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Is it though?
We can try to see if it feels forced.
Would you want to save that for the third break?
Okay, let's do it.
Because then we could do your 19-point business.
Yeah,
the 19 weird things
maybe
in this episode.
Yes.
I'm excited for this because this episode has a lot of weird stuff in it. It has a lot of weird. I'm not going to be specific because I don't want to spoil your list, but just generically speaking, there are some very weird facial expressions. There are some very weird
postures,
activities between characters. There are some very weird costumes. There's a number of weird things in this episode.
I don't think the facial expression is part of it. Like
the bridge was weird.
Remember after Tomalak appears and Riker's like, and like they're walking down the hallway, like Troy, Picard, Tomalak, and Riker are walking down the hallway, and Riker's in the back, and you see he has this big like grumpy sort of like
pissed off.
He looks pissed. Like he's all frowning, and he's got this big grumpy frown on his face. He's like,
Andreas Katsoulis, who played Tomalak, he said that this episode threw him off a bit because he enjoyed playing the character, but previously when he played the character, it was just on screen. And so it was just like a close-up of his head.
Right.
And he said he really had fun, and he didn't even realize it, but in this episode, until he was doing it, he was like, wait, I feel all weird in this uniform. He's like trying to walk around and shit. And it was some interview. I think you can link through it on Memory Alpha, but it was interesting to hear him talk about how playing the character in a different context was uncomfortable. And in fact, he said he wasn't going to come back and play the character unless it was back to just being on screen. And then he was in, I believe it was All Good Things is the next time we see him.
Next time.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
what do you think happened on the Fornax disaster?
I'm interested in that.
I bet it was a disaster.
Yeah. It was a
Fornax.
Maybe it was a catastrophe.
Fornax catastrophe.
Okay. So, are we doing this?
Yeah. I mean, you're doing it.
Okay.
You better
let's do it.
Okay.
19-point list called Weird Things. I'll see if we can, how quickly we can get through this while still maintaining some semblance of entertainment.
All right.
Number one, computer slow. Like Ryko and the Riker and the Ryko.
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 Riker and the turbo lift, you know.
Turbo.
You know, it was all slow. It wasn't responding. Yeah. That was weird. That was like this. That, these are
hints. It's a glitch.
Yeah, these are glitches in the shit, you know. Yeah.
I like the idea of the what we ultimately realize is this alien, presumably alien young person, just is like, oh shit, I've got to like send some like programming over to the neural things because he's not going in the direction I thought, which is exactly what the Romulan said, but it turns out it was true, the processing slowdown. So in other words, in the Romulan section, it was all like, yes, that was an unavoidable thing because when you went someplace we didn't predict, we had to like come up with a new part of the simulation.
It just made me wonder though, how much, like, because there's always going to be an amount of improvisation because there's no way to know exactly what he's going to be saying at all times. And which is why I didn't buy, like when Data couldn't do those basic arithmetic calculations, I was like, okay, so they can't like make complex calculations for stuff that goes too off script, but
they can do the calculations for the simulation.
Like, well, they can do the calculations for the simulation, but Data can't like do like X times Y. No. Like, he can't do the basic functions of any calculator the functions performed by any calculator we have that normally takes less than a second.
Right.
And so I like the whole thing about Data not being able to calculate like how fast warp 7 was. I didn't really buy that.
Or boobless. Isn't that boobless? Is that what you put on the calculator? Like
boobless.
Like 800873 55.
I thought you were like mispronouncing Buble or
boobless.
Something.
I would never mispronounce Buble. Was making you.
I don't get it.
I don't think he even pronounces.
Talk about like a calculator. Talk about you turn it upside down. It's boobless.
I can see Data accidentally using fake Data using contractions. I didn't buy that. Like, he couldn't perform basic calculator functions because they still have to improvise some stuff, you know, which is, he had this whole machine that created this entire universe around him. That thing's making calculations like probably 20, it probably has like
30 calculations a second.
It's probably at least 30 quadrillion teraflops or something. Teraflops.
Dan's pretending he doesn't know the term teraflop, but he knows the term teraflop.
I know you.
Petaflop.
You're all right, a petaflop.
So
okay, number
I know nonce. Number two.
Geordi had no visor. Instead, he had cloned implants. Yeah. Now, as we remember, Geordi turned down implants in season 2, so it's weird that he would have had them done here. Of course, he finally did accept them in All Good Things.
But in All Good Things, it wasn't. It was actually in Generations. He has robot eyes.
Or was it Generations?
Yeah. Generations.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Generations.
Yeah, Generations. He has robot eyes. I agree with you. I think. I think that should have been a clue because Geordi, we presume, would not have gotten the cloned eyes because he could have always gotten the cloned eyes. Having the visor was a part of his identity.
So why was it okay to have robot eyes, though?
Because I think they were the same as the visor, just without the clunkiness. In reality, LeVar Burton was getting aggravated having to wear that stuff. They were changing the ship and all this other stuff. Might as well change that. Yeah. Good opportunity, right? All right.
Right. Okay, number three. Worf has a scar.
Yeah.
Where that's our
Worf from was being all sheepish and weird. Which again, taken in the context of the whole episode, you could say is because maybe the kid didn't understand Worf fully or whatever. It was also weird because Worf was all like at the helm.
Right.
And he was all hunched
and
over.
All weird. And he was acting all sheepish and he was like, I got a scar.
That's where Data sits.
Yeah. So, right. So,
ups.
Yeah. I guess more than the scar, it's just the fact that he was suddenly at the helm instead of doing security. Yeah,
I guess technically
weird.
It wasn't the helm. It was
uncomfortably hunched.
But still.
Yeah. It was not very unWarf-like. Yeah. Now, I don't know if this can be considered a weird thing, but
this is number three,
but
right?
This is number four. Worf is three.
Oh, okay.
Number four, I don't know if you could consider this a weird thing, but it is a new thing. There's a Ferengi helms person.
Yeah.
So
now that's...
that could just be 16 years later.
It also predates Nog, like later in Deep Space. Now, it's not far, 5, 6, 7 years from this point in TNG, like the real time, not the 16 year in advance. Mm-hmm. Nog becomes an ensign, so...
And then there's also number five, lots of Klingons on the Enterprise, apparently. But once again,
one other Klingon.
Still not explained.
Yeah, but like you see one other Klingon and Riker's like, things have changed around here. It's like, well, did you forget that Worf's here? So that's why I think that implied that there were several Klingons around. Because if there was just a second Klingon, that wouldn't be that big of a difference.
No. And maybe Riker's a little racist.
He could be.
Definitely a little bit. Species. He
didn't get along with Worf too well, but that was because of Troy. Six. The Decius, the Roman Dideridex class warbird. They're friends with this Romulan warbird that appears out of nowhere. And number seven, it's captained by Picard. Now that's
bearded
weird.
Picard.
That's number eight. It's weird. It's weird that Picard would be, even if they were friends with the Romulans, it's weird that suddenly he'd be the captain on a Romulan ship.
Well, he's not
ship,
the captain.
Or he'd be like something on a Romulan ship.
He's on the ship transported, I guess.
And he has but the facial hairs. I mean, I guess you could write all these away till just things change over time. But I don't know. That facial hair in Picard looked really weird.
It did look weird. I would also, if I were Riker, I would say, this is an odd future I find myself in, that Picard has this bizarre porn beard.
Yeah, there's
like a sophisticated, pointy porn beard.
Yeah, there's a lot of little differences that add up to I don't know. Yeah, it seems like not that much would have changed like that. Picard, I don't know where it is.
16 years later, and Worf has only moved up one position. And same thing with Riker and Data. Riker is all like a captain, but shouldn't he also be like an admiral? Or I don't know. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. I know in Star Trek, they're captains forever. They just hang out on the ship forever. TOS crew did it.
Nope.
All right. What number are we on, Dan, of this wacky, crazy list?
This wacky, eight. Crazy list.
Weird things.
Weird things.
Weird things with Dan.
Typing
away.
I just lost my place for a second.
Lost his place.
I have number nine, and I'm trying to find the exact line, but at the end of the when they were on, when Riker was talking to Picard and Deanna, at the end, Picard was kind of short with Riker. At the end of the conversation, the transporter room.
Jesse, what do you think about this? This would be better if he had the actual line.
I know.
What do you think, Jesse?
I think so.
Yeah.
He's
looking for it. He's looking for the line. Don't put too much pressure on him, Jesse, though.
Picard goes. Troy goes. How are you feeling? Riker says, "I felt better." And then Picard goes, not surprising, Altarian viruses can be a nasty business. Riker goes, that's an understatement. I can't even. And then Picard says, I can't even. And then Picard interrupts him going, we'll discuss this after we've transported over Picard out. I just thought he was kind of short with Riker and he cut him off and was just like, we'll talk about this later. Like in a way that it just didn't feel like how Picard would sort of talk to Riker.
Another potential clue.
Yeah.
And again, you could say... Are those intended to be potential clues by the writers and the producers, or is it sort of incidental?
I'll give
the credit and say that they were trying to make this a weird future. It's not just the future. It's a little bit weird on the edges.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number 10. I actually found out this is an 18-point list. I accidentally put a number somewhere I shouldn't have. Number 10. It's weird that Picard thinks that Riker can continue with negotiations. When he has no memory of it.
Yeah.
That's the, that must be the part where the alien kid thought he was making, because he thought he was making Riker happy.
Yeah.
He might have thought he was making Riker happy by stroking his ego and making him think that even with no memory, he's still the most qualified person to lead these diplomatic negotiations. Yeah. But it is weird that even though he has no memory, they're still insisting that he continue with these negotiations.
We've talked about how this is a nicely structured episode. It's interesting. It's clever. Where there is a little bit of roughness around the edges of the story is the idea that this scenario that's playing out that causes an interesting, motivates an interesting mystery. The kid says he thought he would, Riker would enjoy this.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, Dan, I think we're meant to imply something along those lines. But if you really wanted somebody to stick around, maybe you'd come up with a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
This can apparently simulate everybody. Mm-hmm. Why go 16 years in the future? Why not just have Riker just have a normal life or come up with some other reason why he can be happy? I don't know. It's not a big deal. The story still works. But when you point things like that out, Dan, it's like, yeah, it's like, what exactly? They didn't really go deeply into why the kid thought that Riker would think this would be fun. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently that he would think it's cool that he's kidnapped by Romulans.
Yeah.
You think that's fun?
Yeah.
Could be a cultural difference between the kid's culture and again, we're presuming it's an alien child, right? Am I correct to assume that? Every time I've seen this episode, I saw this episode when it aired, and I always assumed that we don't know how old the alien kid is. He might be 100 years old, but I got the impression he was intended to be an alien child.
Yep.
And
my name is Barash.
And that's why like some of these visions, I would say that's a legitimate excuse as to why some of these ideas he has don't quite hold together, because they're like a kid's version, a kid's logic being applied to trying to entrap an adult with hallucinations.
Bad move.
I mean, the way he was, the Barash was standing at the end, and his fingers were all like trembling. I mean, I don't think that was just the outfit, like having trembly extension fingers. I think it's just the way he's presented himself. He seemed like a kid.
And for me, again, when I talk about this episode has lots of interesting images, that's one of the most indelible images, not just from this episode. It's like one of those Star Trek images. And maybe not for everybody, but for me, and this is sort of like a middle of the road episode, but I don't know, I will always remember like Riker with his arm around that kid. There's something both wholesome and nice about that. And it's also like the kids are like, nah,
yeah, right.
And they're in some creepy, weird cave, and Riker's just like, come on, kid, we're gonna just beam you up, and I don't know what the fuck happens to you after that. You get sent to the Starfleet orphanage, I guess.
He's a wonderful boy.
He's my number one dad.
So I was making me wonder about like what the kid was at, the alien Barash, we'll call him, what he was trying to accomplish, because they're all chill about revealing the location of Outpost 23, and that Riker has a problem with that. He's like, Outpost 23. As an audience, this leads us to believe that something is awry, that this is a definitely a Romulan trick, right? And it's a trick, but it's just not a Romulan trick. So when Picard says, you know, we're sorry, Will, but your information is out of date, referencing Will or Riker saying like, oh no, Outpost 23 is super important, and Picard's like, nah, it's not. Was that actually truth within the simulations? In other words, did the alien child intend to have Riker uncover a Romulan plot in this story? Or was the Romulan plot just an improvisation because Riker started figuring out what was going wrong?
I have the same question.
Right,
and so it goes a little bit, it's kind of the point I was making. Yeah. Well, that's it's related to the point I was making earlier, where they have this interesting story, but at the end of it, a lot of the story sort of doesn't make sense other than it was engaging.
Yeah.
Like once we find out what's actually happening.
Right. Like, so did the alien want Riker to accept that the Romulans are good now? And did the alien want the Romulans to be good and for Riker to be the reason for it, thus boosting Riker's career and ego? Or did the alien want Riker to uncover a Romulan plot, which in turn would also boost his ego and career? Yeah, so it's, that's sort of up in the air.
It's a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Next up.
Number 11.
Number 11.
Would Riker really be so cheesy as to name his kid Jean-Luc?
You know, it's a good question. I hadn't thought of that, but
me, you'll always be Jean-Luc.
I don't know, because I could see him wanting to name his son after his mentor and close friend.
Call him Luke. How about just Luke
or John? So I could see him that, but I don't. You're right. It feels a little weird, Jean-Luc Riker.
Yeah,
Jean-Luc Riker.
It's too. Yeah, I mean, like, okay, if Jean-Luc's name was actually Luke, I could understand him naming him Luke. But, like, if it's Jean-Luc, I would have a harder time believing he would name him Jean-Luc. I don't know.
Jean-Luc.
Yeah, I don't know. Number 12. The computer couldn't retrieve Riker's service record. He notes that he's surprised that Geordi is taking so long with his diagnostics.
Yes.
The computer lag. So that was another sort of, like, subtle sort of reference to some weirdness going on.
And that was a more like, that's clearly like part of the story. Because it's like some of these weird things are like, they're weird, but are they on purpose or not? That was like, something was going on there.
Yeah. There was the whole thing about how Tomalak is now an ambassador on Nelvana 3. He threatened to basically fuck their shit up. Now, once again, you could just say 16 years later, but it's still like just yet another crazy thing that's happening. All this crazy different shit's going on. So it's becoming harder to believe. 14, I mentioned this. They don't have a problem with revealing the location of Outpost 23. Yeah. Once again, you could just say it's like, things have changed. But it's just like, you pile all these on top of each other. These are a lot of things that are just kind of like, as an audience, you're like, oh, that's different. That's different, too. There's so many things that are different. You know, it's like if one of these things by themselves may not have been too big a deal. But like as a pattern, it starts to sort of emerge.
It works better in the context of, I'm going to watch this show. I might catch it again on a rerun like 5 years from now. But especially in this era of where we can watch the show like three times in a row, you're like, okay, some of these things don't make quite as much sense on the next views.
Something that was weird that it was a hint. Number 15 is the computer couldn't display Riker's wife when he asked for it, but then when his quote unquote son got it to work, Like he was like when he went at it, he was able to like
he was vamping.
He was he was vamping,
a bit of a vamp,
and it was minuet,
which I love. That's really one of my favorite things of the episode is that that's the mistake they make.
Yeah, the kid. When you think about it, like Barash was really rolling the dice with that one though, because what he should have done is he should have just picked someone that Riker had never met before and had been like, "Oh, you met her 5 years ago," but like you know. He rolled the dice, and that's what happens when
he's a kid. But he's an alien kid.
Yeah, he's a dumb kid.
Yeah.
It's interesting in Chakotaya.net at the when Barash is Jean-Luc, they label the character as Jean-Luc. Yeah. When it's Ethan, they label as Ethan. Mm-hmm. But at the end, when he goes, "My name is Barash," it's not Barash saying it. They label it as Ethan saying, "My name is Barash."
Because he doesn't turn into Barash until he says he's Barash. And then he doesn't say anything after saying his name is Barash. Isn't that correct?
Doesn't he say, "My name is Barash," when after he changes into Barash?
Yes, he's physically changed into Barash.
Right.
But as far as the text is concerned, he has to declare that he is Barash.
Oh, right. So so if he had one more line.
I think that the good folks at Chakotaya.net would have done that properly.
Okay.
I can't guarantee that, though.
Okay. Ethan, alien kid, said he was at a research station on Meridian 6 when they were in jail together. He was like, "Oh, it was a research station." On the edge of the neutral zone. It was uninhabited, but apparently the station was set up last year. But the Enterprise wasn't advised about
Apparently not.
So why you'd think the Enterprise would be...
I wasn't sure if it was meant to be like, maybe that's not a Starfleet station. Because not everything's Starfleet. There's Federation stuff that's not Starfleet.
But you'd think they'd at least be aware of it.
I agree. You'd think so, because although we don't talk about it a lot... We talk about it sometimes, even though, yes, the Enterprise are full of the good guys and we're following the good guys around. They do have sort of a fascistic knowledge. They're videotaping everything. By the way, this is another episode where Star Trek watches Star Trek, where Riker, kind of like an encounter at Farpoint, Riker's just like, "I'm just going to watch like all this security footage that that the ship takes of me and my family."
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if this is on your weird list, but like multiple videos of me just grabbing my son and just wrestling around with my son.
I thought that was weird, but for a different reason.
That's my only interaction with my son is that I wrestle around with my son.
It was weird. That was weird. I don't think this was on the list either, but like earlier, actually, LaForge talks about like how Riker's like weirded out because they're on the edge of the neutral zone on impulse power. He's like, "You're not concerned? We're in impulse power on the edge of the neutral zone." And yes, what you said, I did notice that him like wrestling around with his kid like looked very I don't know, something about it looked really was weird. Well, but like
performative, actory.
What
number are we on?
17.
We're getting close because it's an 18-point list because you misnumbered it.
But then I added one just now, so it's back to 19, but only have one after this. Riker feels like the Romulan sensors should have picked them up in that room he hid in with Ethan. When in the jail, they hid in that room. And Ethan was basically like, "Oh, something about the rocks." Or, you know, he's like, "Oh, the sensors can't go through the rocks." And Riker was like, heavy metals, you know, and then Ethan was just like, "Oh yeah, it's the heavy metals. Yeah, that must be it."
Well, and Ethan, in both scenarios, it was Ethan who made a mistake, or it was Barash, I should say.
It's still Ethan at this point.
Yes,
but ultimately,
we know in truth he's Barash,
right?
And he selected minuet incorrectly, as it happens. And he said ambassador Tomalak,
right?
When in the context where Tomalak was not an ambassador, but was rather just a regular old, I forget what the rank is. Maybe is it captain? I don't know. Whatever he, you know.
I think it's captain.
He's just regular old Tomalak.
Heavy metals?
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Take it.
How do you know about that?
You told me about him.
Yeah, that's what happened.
They found us.
But you said the sensors didn't work in these tunnels.
They must have fixed them. We gotta go.
Yeah, that's it, Ticket.
You know, I really cannot say how much I appreciate you did that, because you've clarified a weird feeling I had about the delivery of that guy. I thought the kid was a great actor, but it did have this, I don't know, Newsies style, like, there was a vibe to how he was presenting this character.
Yeah, because he was like, because he said it's like, "Oh, they can't get through the sensors because of the rocks," and Riker had to be the one to be like, "Oh, because of the heavy metals," and he's like, "Oh, yeah.
Then was that there's one more, isn't there?
And actually, you already said that one. Which Ambassador Tomalak.
Ah, yes. Yep, the old ambassador.
Which you mentioned.
Tomalak trick. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if there's any other weird stuff. I mean,
I'm sure there is.
We did come up with a couple other things.
So I thought I liked, so maybe the episode, like the episode may not have been like the most super duper entertaining episode, but I thought it was clever and well thought out how they sort of slipped all these. It was almost mathematical in a certain way. They slipped all these little hints in here.
You know what
and
I'd
there.
Compare it to? I'd positively compare it to that episode of Strange New Worlds, the third season one, the holodeck one where they're trying out the holodeck and they have the murder mystery.
All right.
And that's a fun episode.
What's the one where was it Bart where like they kept saying they got like several layers deep inside the holodeck? Wasn't there a TNG episode where they like had to keep saying end program because they were like it was like some kind of inception thing?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a
wasn't there one where Barclay was all like computer end program just to double check
that happens all the time. That's pretty regular.
This is a common thing.
But for the Strange New Worlds episode, it was an enjoyable episode. I'm forgetting the title right now. But one of the critiques I had of that episode is that they have this set up this whole murder mystery thing. Mm-hmm. But unlike this episode, they were just sort of like saying there was a mystery.
Yeah,
they were
right.
just saying
right.
there was a murder.
Like right.
here there's actually like little clues right. and flavors and
right.
stuff. And then you can, you know, at the end of it, you're like, oh, I yeah. get it. And that one, it was just like, oh, I couldn't have figured yeah. that out. It was just like.
Yeah, that one was more just like Lon going around to different characters and be like, the reason you did it is because blah, 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 yeah. blah, blah. She just says this stuff and you're just like, okay, I guess so.
They're like,
well, no, actually, because I was here. And she's like, oh, and then yeah. he moved on to the next one. It was just all kind of invented on the spot or something.
But in the story for this, this is one of those things where I you probably wouldn't see this happen these days. TNG was really open to random pitches, you know, like just anybody could like send in a script or an idea. That's how Ron Moore got the job. You know, he like sent in some ideas and eventually they hired him as like a full-time writer.
It's almost beyond belief.
The writers of this or the original story originators of this episode, like they basically came and they're like, all right, here's the deal. Riker, something happens to him on a planet and he wakes up it's like 16 years later and he doesn't know what's happened and he's like the captain of the Enterprise. And they were like, stop there, we're gonna buy it. And then they added in all the Romulan stuff later to kind of like flesh it out and make it like a little bit more interesting. But I sometimes think we miss out on some of those fun ideas where somebody comes and they're bringing to the show some like a cool little sci-fi twist, but then that the producers of the show could say like, okay, that's a great start. Now we can put some stuff on it, do some spin, and have some fun with it.
I feel like there was another episode about a thing that lived in a thing with a fake everything you want world. Where like, wasn't there another Star Trek?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few.
Where there's this person living on this place, and they have this world that they created that they could get everything they wanted.
That's also like the Twilight Zone episode, and there's a book that predates. You know, the kid who has all the superpowers, so he just like make everybody do what he wants.
Yeah, and they had the Simpsons episode based on it. Halloween. Treehouse of Horror.
The Treehouse.
It's good
of
that
War.
Bart did that.
Oh, no.
This episode had several sounds where it was people being in disbelief. There was.
I'll have to take your word for that.
Then there was.
From what I saw, I find that hard to believe.
Then there was.
I have trouble believing it myself.
And there was like.
It's almost beyond belief.
Then it was like.
I don't buy it, Tomalak.
I don't buy
Impossible.
It, Tomalak.
That's not possible. I don't buy it, Tomalak.
All right.
There's a lot of skepticism.
We've got to take a break in a second here, but when we come back, I'm curious, do you have, because you know, you organize your sounds by like, there's like the positive and negative angle.
Mm-hmm.
Were those all in the negative angle? Like where does the disbelief go?
That goes in, okay.
How about this? You think about it. We'll take a break.
I can explain it, but
I want you to explain it. Explain it when we get back from the break. I don't want the pressure on you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, because this is, I know, I can see in your face that
you're
like, you're like, I got to do this right now.
No,
you can't. Don't even try. Belay that order.
And we'll get to the yeses in just a moment when we come back. So we will be right back.
I've got to go. I'll be right back.
The right sound. And we're back.
Whenever you're ready, Chief. On my way. On my way.
Speaking of Chief, he's...
Speaking of Chief.
He wasn't... You know who he wasn't talking to?
Chief O'Brien?
He was talking to a different chief, because Chief, that was Transporter Room 6 they were in. Chief O'Brien was busy in Transporter Room 3.
I didn't even catch it was Transporter Room 6.
Yeah, then Chief O'Brien was in 3.
Good point, Dan.
This Transporter Chief was weird. You know who else was weird? The guy earlier on the bridge, right at the beginning, when they're all like, oh, what's going on? And that guy was all like, I'm a weirdo.
He's like, I'm detecting some unusual fluctuations in subspace frequencies. There were like a few.
Who the hell was that guy?
There was all standing up all straight.
Yeah, there was that crewman dude. Then there was someone who apparently her name is Maggie Hubble. Like the first dude was just an extra. Yeah. But then there was another one that I thought was an extra, but apparently she's a character called Maggie Hubble.
Oh, interestingly, I did not know this.
What if you were a character?
She was like, I can't get a solid lock on you, sir. Too much interference. Yeah. I'm trying again. Transporter room, what's happening? Yeah. Picard says, you know.
I didn't know this, but according to Memory Alpha, this was the first appearance of Nurse Ogawa. But it was in the future, like fake world.
Oh, weird.
Which is interesting.
That's all backwards and crazy.
That is really weird.
Nurse Ogawa becomes a prominent character. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, relatively prominent.
And we don't meet her until 16.
This is season 4.
But I'm saying we don't meet her until some weird holodeck program.
Exactly.
Implying that she has existed this whole time.
Wow.
Anyway, at the beginning, Data was also a
philosophical question.
And at the beginning, she must have existed in real life because the holodeck program didn't produce her in real life. Anyways, at the beginning, Data was always musing over the concept of humans celebrating like their birthday, the day they can't remember.
He was all like, what the fuck? Why do they care?
Yeah. And you think,
time around the sun.
And you think he's going to like we're going to get like some ponderings from Data and when Picard has to be like, shut up, Data. But, they just don't go anywhere with it. He just kind of ponders. He just presents the idea and then they move on, which is fine. It's just usually when Data begins like, sir, I am confused about this thing about humans. We hear his whole spiel about it, but we didn't really, all we heard him say is like, why do they care about this shit?
I think that's what adds to the sort of the cozy feel of this episode, right? Again, not a brilliant episode, but it's a cozy episode because they have the little scientific mystery at the beginning. They have Riker having a party in 10 forward. They have Data doing some musing, but as you point out, absolutely right. It doesn't like turn into like the fulcrum of the episode or anything. It's just... So he was like, why don't people...
A little Data tidbit to get us... You know, it's like, this doesn't really have much to do with the episode, but it's a little Data fun. Yeah. It's a little bit of Data, little Data nugget. A nugget of Data that
you say
that
makes little me... Data nut?
A little Data nugget that makes us feel happy, you know?
did you know they made a conscious effort not to age them up too much in the 16 years? Mm. Because Michael Westmore was like, again, according to Memory Alpha.
In the future.
Michael Westmore was like, look, most of the actors are like kind of like in their 30s. Mm. 16 years from now, they're going to be like in their late 40s or something. He's like, just put some tape around there. Give them some crow's feet. Pull their skin back a little bit. Change their hairstyle to something maybe more conservative. And I thought it worked nicely.
I thought it worked.
It is kind of funny sometimes. You know, not a lot takes me out of old Star Trek stuff because I can accept so many like, you know, like old school special effects and things like that. But I'll say when they put the old people makeup on, it usually looks pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And, TOS, TNG. Even Deep Space Nine, right? Like The Visitor is a great episode, but Tony Todd and old man makeup, it works because it's dark and stormy. But this was a good design choice, and I appreciate it.
Damn it.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was a scene where he was looking at the LCARS system, otherwise known as the Library Computer Access and Retrieval System. Mm-hmm. LCARS system would be redundant for me to say. It's just LCARS.
Made by the Akudas.
There was, if you remember, he was looking at a service record, and you...
Or attempting to. Did he actually get to look at it?
Yeah, there were two pages of it. All right. Somebody wrote this thing out. Somebody made the service record...
Chat GPT.
Well, there's obviously not, because unless they had something similar back in 1980, whatever.
You don't think they had something similar like 1990, 1991?
I don't think so.
They had Dr. Spatzo.
Yeah.
I am Dr. Spatzo.
But, okay, so, like, somebody wrote this shit out, and they was so... We got almost no time.
You mean like, I get what you're saying. You're not talking about in-universe. You're talking about like a production person had to write out an article
for
something that, as far as they were concerned, would never have been read because the resolution would not have been high
enough. Well, the resolution was high enough.
It's HD now.
Well, the point is that I don't know if that's the reason or not. What I was more getting at is because it goes by so quickly that unless you paused it, you wouldn't be able to see it. And if you paused it, you might still not be able to see it because when you pause VCR, VCRs back in that day.
Motion blur and stuff like that.
There's the motion blur and the all the fucking VCR pausing. Yeah,
the gibbles and the gobbles.
The shit. But I could have just like, I took a screenshot of it.
Okay.
And I could have just by hand transcribed it, yeah. But I was able to use like the screenshot. Speaking of AI, I was actually able to use the AI, Bing AI or whatever.
Bing
from
AI.
From which the screenshot. AI
is that,
I don't know if it's
is that Copilot?
I don't know. It said Bing search.
Because you got your Chat GPT.
No, I know.
You got your Gemini.
Yes, we know.
You got your Microsoft Copilot.
Yes.
Is Bing associated with Copilot? I don't know.
Oh, I was about to answer that.
Oh, okay.
But great. You wanted to go through all the different. I get it. You wanted to talk about all the different AIs.
Well, because
first.
We do have a lot of fans in England.
What
and
about
I make
Grok? You forgot about Grok.
Fuck Grok. Okay. I mean, not fuck. Don't fuck it.
Don't fuck Grok.
Just I don't know. I just don't like.
No, that. It said like Bing's image search. I think it's probably Copilot via Bing or Bing via Copilot or whatever. Yeah. But anyways, I used that to do a text copy, so I didn't have to spend like a bunch of time like transcribing it myself. But
that's
I did
a good use.
For yeah, so I copy and pasted it, and it's actually some legitimate stuff. I don't have to go through the whole thing, but it says like on page one, it says Stardate 46048 commended by Captain Jean-Luc Picard for exceptional service during Alpha Nias expedition. Citation reads: Commander Riker's leadership skills and his scientific ability were key factors in this mission.
The mission where they beamed down, got gassed, and then got beamed up?
Yeah, sure. Then the next one's actually the way that it copied this is it copied it as Stargate instead of Stardate. So I had to correct that. The next one they wrote it as Starbait. So I had to correct that. Starbait.
Is that a star
hate? That's what
stars do. Is that a part of porno category?
Yeah. But the second one is in Stardate 48179. It says awarded Grand Kite Order of Tactics class of excellence by Starfleet Command for his role in the Zavolta Planetary Geosciences Survey Expedition. What do you think happened on that Zavolta Planetary Geosciences Survey Expedition?
What was it? Could you read the award thing before? Because maybe that provides some context whether it was.
It was
like
the Grand Kite Award. GRANKITE.
And after that, what's the information after?
Order of Tactics.
Tactics. So tactics implies that there was some sort of engagement. Mm. So it's not like it's not like he just completed a really cool scientific mission. Mm. Doesn't sound like he like saved somebody who like fell down a cave in a caving incident, which has happened sometimes. It happened on Enterprise.
This one was called Stardate. So I had to correct that. Stardate. This is on page 257398. Commended for exceptional leadership by Starfleet Admiral Bretner during the joint Excalibur campaign.
Excalibur!
And then,
Riker,
of course,
Riker pulled a phaser out of a rock.
The last one was Stardate 58384. He was nominated for Kragite Order of Heroism for his role in the capture of a Romulan warship in preventing the capture of 47 Starfleet officers. Kragite. K-R-A-G-I-T-E.
Now, here's the interesting thing. You've already demonstrated that the AI made a few transcribing errors.
I checked them.
Yeah, I know. But the point is that you know that, right? But then some of these other gobbledygook terms, do you think those are real, or do you think that the AI has transcribed
those? No, what I'm saying is
I looked
at some of these names. I manually looked at these names. Because I was
That answers the question totally. That I was posing.
Yeah, because
it's almost beyond belief.
Some other noticeable things is they talk about the Sargon region. And then they also have selected for recognition as Special Federation Representative to the Axanar Conference on Beta Quadrant.
Axanar has come up before. And then there was that whole Battle for Axanar fan project. There's a bunch of crazy nonsense.
He prevented a Romulan preemptive strike on the Gamma Hydra sector, which they...
Hydra we've referenced before.
Which the AI actually wrote as Gamma Wybra sector. So I corrected that to
Gamma Hydra. Isn't that Star Trek 2? They mentioned that? Is the Kobayashi Maru, I think, is the...
But there was
Gamma
like...
Hydra section.
Maybe.
Sector.
There were like 10 different entries, and like someone wrote all those out, and nobody get to read them. But that's the kind of dedication they have.
I like that.
Those...
Now, the question I have, and I do not have an answer for this, nor are we likely to before the end of this podcast. But the question I have is, was that original text at the time this episode was made, or was it added in during the HD remaster? And I only ask that because I think in some cases it's the former, but maybe in a few cases it was
the latter
where the increased resolution necessitated that somebody would be able to read the text because
I hope so.
The resolution was going to be at. So I know they had to come up with some stuff every now and then, even if they tried to keep it to a minimum.
I bet it's the original stuff.
I would guess it's probably the original.
Yeah, I don't think they would have changed anything.
No, I think it's part of the fun. You give that to some PA, you know, some production assistant, be like, come up with some cool Riker shit. I don't know.
I don't believe this. Is this a dream?
You were close, Riker.
You were asking me about the different...
From what I saw, I find that hard to believe.
I have trouble believing it myself.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, so how that works is... The reason I was chuckling before is because this is... Okay, so I've mentioned that the way I organize... These are under the green ones, which are conversational sounds that fit into conversations.
You have a color coding. Green is conversational, and by conversational, you mean...
Great.
Clips that you could use to answer a question, pose a question. You know, that's
talking in conversation. Yeah. Like you say something, and I go like,
bad move.
Or you say like, or you say some obnoxious shit, and I go,
damn it.
Yeah. Or you say something unbelievable, and I'm like,
impossible.
Or you say like, is this true?
Yes.
Oh, that was a bad one because there's too much sound. You say it, and then it goes,
yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, right. So you're saying, because I was curious about the negative to positive ratio.
Yeah, so it's all part
of... That's the spectrum.
Yeah, that's all part of that, but the positive. So it starts at positive, goes to negative, but I break them into different sections.
But those aren't different colored. How do you organize those? Is it just like the order they're shown on the screen?
Yeah, those are ordered. The top left is positive, bottom right to bottom right. Is most negative.
So just to clarify to the audience, Jesse and I are not permitted to go around the table and look at the... Look at Dan's setup. It's all very proprietary. It's very uncomfortable. And I understand it. People don't like people looming over their shoulders.
I'm sorry.
Jesse's particularly good at...
I can loom.
Looming over
I'm
shoulders.
Sorry.
Yeah, Jesse's... You're always like hovering over someone going,
Jesse's quite tall and he and quite good at sort of arching over somebody and being like,
Can't do that.
Lurch.
All right, so so Dan's descriptions are aiding Jesse and I too. So we were visualizing along with the audience. We have no special access to information. We were relying wholly on Dan's ability to communicate the geography of his sound clip system.
Right. So as an example, like part of the green, bookends each one is at the very top. There's like intros back in from break. At the very end, there's the outro going to break. It's the things I played before break and coming into break. But between those, I have it separated into four basic parts: things referring to it, things referring to they, things referring to I, and things referring to you.
Okay, I did not know any of this.
Yeah. So
this
is
fascinating.
So like for example,
that's understandable considering what's happened.
That's referring to it. Right? To say like,
he's a wonderful boy.
That's they, because it's he, you know? Or,
getting a lot of confusing readings here.
That's I, you get that. And so it goes in that order. It, they, I, you, right? And in those, each one of those, it goes from positive to negative. So for example, in the it section, from the most top left in the it section.
Excellent.
That's very positive, right? But then to go down to the negative, the most bottom right one is...
Shields up, red alert!
So wait, just to clarify, top left to bottom right?
Yeah,
so it's like a diagonal...
It's like as you're reading, like you read.
No, this is making sense to me. I want to confirm to clarify. So what was the most bottom right one you had, the most negative?
Shields up, red alert!
It's like, in other words,
it's danger.
There's a danger. It is dangerous right now. Yeah.
Although
you know?
in this case, it turned out there wasn't.
No, it's true.
Yeah, the Romulans and the humans are not only friendly, but they're going to make an alliance.
It doesn't necessarily have to be within context of the episode
of
itself.
Course, I understand.
And then somewhere,
these are all conversational things.
Yeah, and then somewhere in the middle, there might be like,
that's understandable considering what's happened.
Or like,
unavoidable.
It's just kind of neutrally kind of things, you know. I don't know being like, or I don't care, I don't know kind of being most middle. But then, so you're asking where...
I have trouble believing it myself.
Okay, where does that come in? Sometimes, one thing I've been doing lately is I've been splitting the it section into two sections in and of itself.
Wow.
One that is...
Somebody please write a paper on this guy. Please, I know we got some psychologists in our audience. Come on, just as one of those guys.
Some high-level stuff.
Yeah.
You might win an Ig Nobel Prize.
Some of it is like qualitative, like...
Excellent.
You know, that's excellent, that's great. Or like something like...
Good idea.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's good. That's bad. Or there's...
Damn it.
That's, you know, it's like, it's stating like, the you know, what the...
It's an opinion.
An opinion or just a rating, yeah. a qualitative. So, but there's a difference because sometimes when you're referring to it, you're giving things in affirmations mm-hmm. or what's... Negatory? I don't know.
Negatory.
Deaffirmation?
Negations.
Negations.
So there's a separate section from that that is under the it section, but that's a separate one altogether for...
Yes.
Or...
Of course.
Or...
You bet.
Because,
you bet.
Because they aren't qualitative. They're not talking about how good or bad something is. They're saying if it's true or not.
Mm.
And so when this one...
You bet. I have trouble believing it myself.
That goes in the is it true or not section. Yeah. I have trouble believing it because yeah. he's not saying that sucks or that's cool. He's saying, I'm not sure what you said is correct.
All right.
So it's like how correct something is, whatever you'd call that. Yeah. So that's where that lands. It lands in the negative side of the affirmation section.
I hope the audience finds this entertaining. I find it. I actually find it interesting. I have a particular fascination with categories, with the categories that humans come up with because it's a fluid, interesting thing that we do. And this is the kind of thing where it's very interesting using discrete. Mm-hmm. These are discrete sound clips, but there is subjectivity because there's Dan has made choices as to how much of the sound clip he has clipped, and then there's some choices as to where it goes in his mind map.
I remember last week you were talking were talking about how long it takes for me to put these together. And one thing you said last week was like, it also depends like how long it takes to cut these clips depends upon the context in which they fall in the episode. And that's true. I wanted to expound on that briefly in that, yes, because for example, in something like Discovery, like for a lot of like TNG and stuff, there's a lot more isolated statements that there's not a lot of sound next to them. It's just isolated statements. Of course, there are examples of there being beds of music behind them. And
not as many beeps and boops and not as fast.
Yeah. Discovery has a lot of like surrounding the sound.
You know what? I would maybe even has more. I'll tell you from the context of what I need to do. Each week is I'm the one who picks the clip at the beginning of the episode. We usually try to pick a representative clip. Right. When you started this episode, I will have picked some clip that I have deemed evocative of the thematic whatever of the episode. Right?
That's good idea.
That's the goal anyway. Right?
That's good.
And one of my favorite Star Trek shows ever was Lower Decks. But I also recall it was often very difficult to clip things out because there's no fucking pauses between lines and scenes. It just goes boom, 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 boom. TAS was sometimes like that too because they're constrained for time. So it's like boom, boom, boom. And I think in Discovery is similar, but it's also just, there's just a cacophony of things going on.
Lower Decks, I would get nearly as many sounds in a Lower Decks episode as I would as a Star Trek episode because like the beats happen so quickly.
Yeah.
So, but like in Discovery, because there's a lot of zaps and zoops and beeps and boops, I can't just cut the sound of what the quote of what they're saying, because if it comes at the wrong time in the middle of another sound,
it's a nightmare.
Your brain doesn't process it properly. It's kind of like, I don't know if there's an actual similarity to this, but you know, color theory, how if you look at a color, it looks one way, but if you surround it with another color, it can make that middle color look different. And the sound is similar where if your brain doesn't process the surrounding noise to the one that you're targeting, it makes it less understandable.
I totally buy into the aural version of what you're talking about.
Aural.
Yeah, not oral.
No, aural.
Aural.
So for example, if there's a beep boop, I try to start at the beginning of the beep boop. Or if there's like a loud musical thing leading up to it, I try to hit it like right when a certain note in the phrasing hits, you know? So I have to, and that takes longer to do because I have to try to figure, and also when people say things very quickly, like a very quickly stated statement, I try to add extra space at the beginning and the end, because if the sound itself is too short, it doesn't even sound like anything at all. So you have to add some lead up sound and some ending sound to give your brain some context to understand the sound, what's being said.
Context is for kings, brother.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, like learning this process.
It is.
Excellent.
Egg salad. So.
Okay. Bits and bobs. Any other major thematic points we make about this episode?
Well, there is sulfur dioxide, methane, hydrogen, sulfide.
Sounded smelly. Do you think it was smelly?
They said there was lots of methane.
Yeah. Nobody said it was smelly. They were just like, I wouldn't want to spend my vacation here.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. was like, they talk about like methane having a fart smell, but it depends because it doesn't have your fart smell.
Could you be more specific?
Because I don't like, you know, I'm not like a poop fart guy. You know, it's a dance thing usually, but like I'm a human being, and human beings tend to, you know, the old gag is you enjoy your own brand.
Yeah,
but when you're on a when you're on an alien planet,
right.
It's not your own brand.
No,
but you would have thought like somebody.
Imagine an alien fart must be really weird.
Like Worf was like, that's just a warrior's fart.
Oh man, with all that gawk in them.
Yeah,
you know,
prune juice.
Oh yeah.
Worf likes prune juice because Worf likes to shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they shit big in there. Beverly Crusher orders him water at 3 degrees Celsius, which is 37.4 degrees Fahrenheit.
Like, is that good or bad?
I don't know.
It's like a little above freezing. It's like not freezing. It's very cold water.
This was the Onias III Riker. Riker was infected with a strain of Altarian encephalitis. Mm-hmm. Encephalitis being some shit that fucks your brain up.
Yeah, well, it's an inflammation of encephala in your brain. Yeah. Brain inflammation.
One of my favorite parts of this episode was when Riker goes,
shut up!
When he tells Picard to shut up.
Yeah, that was good.
And he's like,
I said shut up!
It looked like
close your mouth and stop talking.
Jonathan Frakes was having fun doing
it. Yeah, and then and it was extra awesome also when Troy was like, calm down, he's like,
Deanna, back off.
Like, it's just that was like an unusual Star Trek moment of just being like, shut up, you know. that's always a fun part in this episode, especially him telling Deanna to back off.
And again, because we're watching this retroactively, it can be hard to remember that, you know, this is fourth season, so they've done a lot. But you know, this is like a real Riker episode, right? Like they've done some other like Riker focused episodes, but I don't know if this is the first or not. But it's like one of the main, like, it's all about Riker in this episode, kind of like Frame of Mind. Remember we discussed Frame of Mind some long time ago.
Yeah.
Where Riker is like going all crazy. That's one of the ones where there's like a few layers.
Were you going to talk about weird faces people were making? Or did we already talk about that?
Well, I think I was just sort of commenting. I don't know if there was like specific ones to point out.
I just remember specifically I mentioned before them walking down the hall and Riker just was like all of frowning.
Riker, but future Picard. I don't know. It's just like all along the way there were some interesting choices people made.
I beg your pardon.
That gave it a bit of an uncomfortable vibe in a good way. Again, I thought it made it more engaging, the whole thing.
Oh, I forgot to mention about my organization thing. No has its own section.
Yes,
outside of the affirmation section.
Yeah, do we have any no's this week?
Yeah, there's
no, you can't, don't even try.
No, no,
no, no.
And then there's
belay that order,
which is not really a no, but like I kind of,
well, it's a negatory.
It's a negatory. And there's a section for questions too, like
question section.
There's a question section. There's like,
what has happened? Why didn't you warn me?
How are you feeling? How do you feel?
Are you all right?
Is that what you wanted?
Yeah. I added a little beep at the end.
I wonder if you okay? You could use this library for therapy of some sort.
Whoa, I broke it. I wanted to mention, when Troy was talking about Minuet, he was talking about Riker's wife, because Riker was like, what was she like? You know, this is before he knew his Minuet. Right. She goes, Min was beautiful, of course, strong, intelligent, patient. She was an excellent captain's wife and a very good ship's
captain's
counselor.
Wife.
Yeah, so I want, so here I want to point out. Number one, it's weird that the first sentence began with, she's beautiful, and the second sentence began with, she was an excellent captain's wife. Because in the first sentence, instead of leading with her skills, Troy led with her looks. Yeah. And in the second one, instead of leading with her role on the ship, Troy led with her role as a supporter of her husband's role on the ship. Yeah. And she was an excellent captain's wife, but only a very good ship's counselor. So that was like kind of odd.
I mean, I got the ship's counselor joke because the joke was Troy was saying, well, not as good as me.
Okay, fair enough.
Because she was Troy's replacement.
Right, fair enough. I don't know if do you think they meant that?
Yeah, I mean that's how I took it. I took that to be a fun little goofy gag.
A goofy goof.
Yeah.
So goofy. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. But, no, it was interesting. Yeah. Again, there's a lot in this episode.
Of course.
To love.
Maybe your trombone playing will be one of them.
If The mystery, the double mystery rug pulling thing is super fun and super engaging. It would work better if it made more sense with the final like resolution, right? As we discussed, it's kind of odd that the kid is like, this is the fantasy I could use to trap this guy here, to kidnap this guy. Mm-hmm. It might have been interesting to go into a little bit more around the this young alien Barash being lonely. I know.
So lonely.
I mean, it's like...
My name is Barash.
I get it. We get everything we need in the last couple minutes of the episode. But to me, that's interesting. It's interesting, this idea this person is is trapped and lonely, and that's their motivation for kidnapping a fella. Yeah.
I like also that he took the kid back, or the Barash back with him, and they didn't just kill him off. Like when he tried, when he tried to take him back, Barash wasn't like, no, this is my home now. I must stay and be miserable because this is my home. Like, I like that. It made me feel good that he took him off the planet, like, which doesn't always happen. Like, I mean, I guess in Strange New Worlds, they were making a point out of it.
You're talking about the Gorn episode?
Yeah. They were making
Terrarium.
They were trying to Terrarium. The Rotisserarium.
Oh my God, it's horrifying. Can you imagine that as some sort of Gorn torture?
Send them to the rotisserarium.
Yeah, but I guess they were trying to make a point with that in that episode.
They often do try to make points.
4428 6.5.
Hugh. We are Hugh.
I am Locutus of Borg.
That's an iBorg episode you're always talking about.
Yeah.
They're new listeners. Dan loves talking about iBorg. We haven't talked about iBorg yet because the algorithm hasn't come up with it.
And it's Dan's
algorithm.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd monkey around with it to make it have us discuss iBorg, because he's always fucking bringing up iBorg.
I'm not a cheater. Yeah. But this was
Hugh.
That was actually him saying you in the episode. Yeah. So isn't that crazy?
It's an affectation.
That's fucking crazy.
It's an affectation. Captain Pike, you're wacky.
Oh, there's a duty or no duty.
Okay, let's do a no duty or no duty. No duty. Let's do a duty.
I don't get it.
The duty or no duty. And then we'll close down the episode. We'll talk about what we're discussing next week.
Okay, duty or no duty. All right.
Will, you're sound of mind and body. If you are properly briefed, you'll still be able to fulfill your duty. Fill your duty.
Jesse?
No duty.
No duty. I'm with Jesse. It's a no.
Classic Picard. No duty.
I think it's a duty. Psych!
Picard enunciation.
Oh, I was making a joke.
It wasn't
a very funny joke.
Okay, tell the joke.
It's all right, dude.
I think it's a duty. No, I'm just kidding. It's a no duty. It's no duty.
You'll reverse him up.
Yeah.
Dan's like, there's one more point away.
There was the is it though.
Oh, yes, the is it, though.
Yeah.
Let's try the is it, though.
Let's try
it. It's the end of the episode.
Let's try the is it, though.
Most people have fallen asleep and are now having fitful nightmares to the dulcet tones of our voice and all that horrifying trombone music you were playing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Picard says, maybe the rumors of a secret Romulan base in the sector are true. Picard to Commander Riker. Never mind. Forget that.
All right.
Forget that, Jesse. That was terrible.
Wipe it from your mind.
Okay. Now starting again. Data. Although Alpha Onias 3 is a Class M planet, our survey teams have listed it as barren and inhospitable. Riker says, any life signs? Data. No, sir, but we have traced residual energy readings to a cavern 2 kilometers beneath the surface. Worf. Romulans? Data says, it is possible. Picard says, I suppose you'll just have to go down there and find out. Mm-hmm.
Is it though? That doesn't make any sense.
Were they though? No, do they?
Were they though doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Do they really
have to go down there and find out?
They don't have to.
They
could just put like a buoy and have some other ship come look at it.
Number two, Crusher, Beverly Crusher says, memories are formed by association. Smells, sounds, and images from the present could possibly trigger them. Riker says, like a song reminds you of an old friend. Crusher says, exactly. In associational therapy, we expose the patient to familiar surroundings. This could stimulate the brain's neural synapses into regenerating. Does it though? They always talk about stuff like that.
I don't think so, because it's all a simulation.
Does it though?
This could, does it?
I
well, it's a simulation, but like I know that like it's common for like pop science and in movies and stuff to say things like that. Yeah. But like how true is it?
My knowledge of neurology and
my knowledge of neurology
is insufficient to offer an accurate thing. I would say probably not though. Yeah. Do they not? What I don't know what the proper phrasing. Whatever it is, I'm negative.
Negative.
No, you can't. Don't even try.
Right. Is that it for
that?
The,
was that was
the,
it?
Yeah. See, it was good. It was not good. Bad.
It didn't have the effect of last week, but it was something. Yeah, it was something.
You know, we'll see. We'll revisit.
I'm not going to play anymore.
Okay, so
you'll be fine.
next week, we will be discussing the Star Trek TOS episode Arena, the Gorn episode.
I'm running a level one diagnostic.
Famous episode. Ever since the Strange New Worlds, there's a lot of Gorn stuff. We were like, hey, we haven't discussed Arena. We should discuss Arena. So we're overriding. No algorithm this week. We're just going to dive headlong into Arena, and we're planning to have a very special guest.
Yes.
You'll have to tune in to find out who that special guest is.
Ooh.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. You guys are weird. It is.
What's wrong, Dad? What's wrong, Dad?
It's October.
Dad.
Spooky season. Next week, Arena with a special guest on the podcast. So tune in for that. In the meantime, you can find us on social media at It's Got Star Trek.
I have to return to my ship.
But all the cool ones, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and all that jazz. YouTube.
I couldn't refuse.
YouTube. Lots of people listen to us on YouTube. You might want to do that. Go to just search for It's Got Star Trek on YouTube. Subscribe. Even if you don't want to listen on YouTube, do that. It helps us out.
Your mistake, Tomalak.
Facebook and the websites, itsgotstartrek.com. with a www in front. And, we've got a Patreon, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. There's some fun stuff there. And if you want
to... It was a tremendous opportunity.
If you want to hear a sample of some of our Patreon stuff, just look back a couple episodes in the feed, the Congo Bongo Micro Macro. There's a couple of... We pulled a couple of the old Patreon podcasts out from behind...
So much effort.
Behind the paywall.
So little accomplished.
Yes, I mean, that's fair. But you can check those out. So, otherwise... We will be talking to you again about this time next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I just want to get away.
I'll get us out of here, Ethan.
All right, Commander, you've got until your next birthday to get that right.
Some things improve with age. Maybe your trombone playing will be one of them.
It's candle time, birthday boy.
Good luck.
Woo!
All right. So what did you wish for, Will?
Music lessons.